Hare Krishna. So we shall read one verse from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 9, the most confidential knowledge, text 14. Please repeat after me. Satatam Kirtayanta Mam Yatanta Cha Jidavrataha Namasyanta Cha Mam Bhaktya Nitya Yukta Upasate Satatam Kirtayanto Mam
Satatam Kirtayanto Mam
Yatantas Chadridavrataha
Yatantas Chadridavrataha
Namasyantas Chamam Bhaktya
Namasyantas Chamam Bhaktya
Nitya Yukta Upasate Satatam Kirtayanto Mam
Satatam Kirtayanto Mam
Yatantas Chadridavrataha
Yatantas Chadridavrataha
Namasyantas Chamam Bhaktya
Namasyantas Chamam Bhaktya
Nitya Yukta Upasate
Nitya Yukta Upasate.
You like to lead?
Satatam Kirtayanto Mam
Kirtayanto Mam
Yatantas Chadridavrataha
Yatantas Chadridavrataha
Namasyantas Chamam Bhaktya
Namasyantas Chamam Bhaktya
Nitya Yukta Upasate
Nitya Yukta Upasate Satatam
Always
Kirtayanta,
Kirtayanta,
chanting,
chanting.
Mam,
about me,
Yatanta,
fully endeavoring,
Cha,
also,
Tridavrataha,
with determination.
Namasyanta,
offering obeisances,
cha,
and
mam,
me,
bhaktya,
in devotion,
nitya yukta,
perpetually engaged.
Upasate,
worship.
Translation. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. Please repeat. Always chanting my glories.
Always chanting my glories.
Endeavoring with great determination.
Endeavoring with great determination.
Bowing down before me.
Bowing down before me.
These great souls.
These great souls.
Perpetually worship me.
Perpetually worship me.
With devotion.
With devotion.
Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The Mahatma cannot be manufactured by rubber stamping an ordinary man. His symptoms are described here. A Mahatma is always engaged in chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord Krishna. the personality of Godhead. He has no other business. He is always engaged in the glorification of the Lord. In other words, he is not an impersonalist. When the question of glorification is there, one has to glorify the Supreme Lord, praising his holy name, his eternal form, his transcendental qualities, and his uncommon pastimes. One has to glorify all these things. Therefore, a Mahatma is attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who is attached to the impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord, the Brahma Jyoti, is not described as a Mahatma in the Bhagavad Gita. He is described in a different way in the next verse. The Mahatma is always engaged in different activities of devotional service, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam. Hearing and chanting about Vishnu, not a demigod or human being. That is devotion. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, and Smaranam. Remembering him. Such a Mahatma has firm determination to achieve at the ultimate end the association of the Supreme Lord in any one of the five transcendental rasas. To achieve that success, he engages all activities, mental, bodily, and vocal, everything, in the service of the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna. That is called full Krishna consciousness. In devotional service, there are certain activities which are called determined, such as fasting on certain days, like the 11th day of the moon, Ekadasi, and on the appearance day of the Lord. All these rules and regulations are offered by the great acharyas for those who are actually interested in getting admission into the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the transcendental world. The Mahatmas, great souls, strictly observe all these rules and regulations, and therefore they are sure to achieve the desired result. As described in the second verse of this chapter, not only is this devotional service easy, but it can be performed in a happy mood. One need not undergo any severe penance and austerity. He can live this life in devotional service, guided by an expert spiritual master, in any position, either as a householder or a sannyasi or a brahmachari, in any position and anywhere in the world, he can perform this devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus become actually Mahatma, a great soul. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 9, text 14. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha dridavritaha namasyantascha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me, these great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. All of us are gathered here in the effort to become devotees. The previous verse described the Mahatma, Mahatmanas tumam parthap divim prakriti mashrita. And Mahatma is a synonym for devotee. So we should take the instruction in the Bhagavad Gita here to heart, because it tells us how we should live our lives. The first word, satatam. Yes, satatam means always. Our entire life, our entire time, should be engaged in Krishna's service, in devotional service. Cent per cent. Not some time for Krishna and some for me, some for my family, some for my friends, but all of the time should be engaged in Krishna consciousness. And that's the way that we will go back home, back to Godhead. That's the determination, jadavrata, that's the determination of a devotee, to go back home, back to Godhead, and associate with the Lord in loving service in the spiritual world, in a direct relationship with Him. Anything that we want to achieve requires endeavor and knowledge. For everything, there's a process. If one wants to learn how to play mridanga, there's a process. If one wants to learn how to make a chapati, there's a process. For everything, there's a process. There's also a process for becoming Krishna conscious and going back home, back to Godhead. And to learn the process, one needs not only books, but a teacher. The same principle applies in other fields of activity. For example, if you want to learn to play a musical instrument, you need a teacher. You can't just learn from reading books. Even if you want to make a chapati, you need a teacher. You just can't learn by reading a book. You need someone to teach you and to show you by example how to do it. Well, the same principle applies in spiritual life. Therefore, the Bhagavad Gita instructs acharya upasana. One must approach the acharya. Acharya means one who teaches by example. He knows the revealed scriptures and he teaches the revealed scriptures to his students or disciples, and at the same time he also shows by example how to live the life of a devotee in Krishna consciousness. So satatam kirtayanto mam. Devotee always engages in chanting the glories of the Lord. And as Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, when there's a question of glorification of the Lord, we mean glorification of the Lord's name, form, qualities, and pastimes. In other words, a Mahatma is not an impersonalist. People suffer in the material world. There's no way to avoid it. And sometimes as a reaction to all the pain and suffering, people become impersonalists. They don't want to suffer anymore. They relate their suffering to being individuals. That because I'm an individual, because I'm a person, I have feelings, I'm vulnerable, and I'm subject to pain. So they think, to avoid pain, I will give up my individual existence and merge, become one with God. Such an impersonal annihilation of one's individual identity is a type of spiritual suicide. A person may be suffering. Sometimes people suffer so much they actually do commit suicide. But an ordinary person, even though he's suffering, but if you say to him, I will kill you, then you will be relieved of your suffering, he won't agree. Because suicide is negative. It's yes, it's an escape from suffering, but our goal is not just to escape suffering. Our goal is to enjoy pleasure. Anandamaya Vyasat, the nature of the Absolute Truth is full of pleasure, and we are all parts and parcels of the Absolute Truth, and therefore our nature is also to enjoy pleasure. But the pleasure in the material world is temporary. The pleasure that's based on the body is very temporary, because the body itself is temporary. Kamala Dala Jala Jivana Talamala. Our conditioned life, our life in the body, we are like a drop of water on a lotus leaf. The leaves of lotus flowers are very slippery. So a drop of water on the leaf, at any moment it can fall down and that be shattered, that drop of water be shattered. So in the same way, our existence in the body, our conditioned life in the material world, just like a drop of water on the leaf of a lotus, it can fall at any time and be shattered. So we should not put our faith in the body, in the relationships based on the body, or in anything of the material world, but we should put our faith in Krishna and invest our time and energy in developing our relationship with Him, not with the temporary manifestations in the material world. The Srimad Bhagavatam describes our husbands, wives, parents, children, friends, relatives. As fallible soldiers material existence is like a battle, like a war, and to fortify ourselves in that battle, we assemble soldiers to support us. But those soldiers, you know, husband, wife, children, parents, family, friends, they're fallible soldiers. They're also going to fall in the battle along with us. So we should not put our faith in such fallible soldiers. So, so we do need support. We cannot become Krishna conscious alone. We do need support. But that support is from devotees, from Mahatmas. The scriptures recommend association with Mahatmas and service to Mahatmas. Mahat seva dwaram ahur vimuktes. That by serving great souls, Mahatmas, the door to liberation opens. And by serving materialistic people, tamodwara yoshita sangi sangam, the door to hell opens. So, man is a social animal. He cannot live without company, without association. So he must associate with either Mahatmas, great souls, or Duratmas, cripple-minded people. So that is our choice. That is our choice. Sangat sanjayate kama. By association, one's desires develop. So if we associate with Mahatmas, we'll develop the desire to become like them, Krishna conscious. And if we associate with Duratmas, we'll become like them. We'll degrade ourselves. And all of these activities here are made possible by the association of devotees. Of course, satatam kirtayanto mam, kirtan in the general sense means glorification. Glorification means someone speaks and someone listens. So there's association. There are many verses in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam about how devotees spend their time together. In fact, I will read one, a very nice one, from the next chapter. Text 9. Matchita matgata prana bodayanta parasparam katayantas chabam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. So when we get together, we should share our thoughts about Krishna, our realizations about Krishna, our experiences in Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada comments on this verse in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that just as scientists get together in great halls of scientific academies and share news of their discoveries. Similarly, the devotees, they also get together and share their news about their discoveries in Krishna consciousness, their latest revelations in devotional service, revelations of Krishna's mercy. And the Supreme Lord, when he sees or hears his devotees talking about him, he is very pleased with them, and he enlightens them with spiritual knowledge within the heart. And that is described in the next verse. Tesham satatu yuktanam bhajatam priti purvatam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. Tesham satatu yuktanam, again the same word, satatu yuktanam, constantly engaged. Bhajatam priti purvakam, in devotional service with love. Dadami buddhi yogam tam, I give them knowledge, I give them intelligence. Yena mam upayantite, how they can come to me. And that's our goal, how we can come to Krishna. So we need the association of devotees to engage in kirtan, glorification of Krishna, shravanam kirtanam, Vishnu. That's the important point. In fact, everyone engages in glorification anyway. but they may engage in glorification of some demigod, not Vishnu, some demigod, Durga Mata, or Lord Shiva, or Ganeshji, or whomever they like to worship and glorify. But Satatam Kirtayan Tamam, Krishna says, engage in glorification of me. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, glorification of Vishnu. Not any demigod, or not any human being. People are very prone to talk about other people in the material world. Political leaders, singers, movie actors and actresses, sports heroes, literary personalities, all sorts. But unless they're related to Krishna and Krishna consciousness, we should not waste time. As Srila Prabhupada said in one class in Los Angeles, don't waste time. If you've got time, chant Hare Krishna. Don't speak nonsense. Don't waste time. Chant Hare Krishna. Satatam Kirtayantam. And that's the same instruction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Shikshastaka. Kirtaniya Sadahari. Always engage in chanting the holy name of Krishna. Glorification of Krishna. Now, what's described here is a pure devotee. Pure devotee in the sense that he's exclusively engaged in devotional service. But it doesn't mean he's 100% pure. No one can be 100% pure immediately. But he's following the instructions of a pure devotee. And as long as he sincerely follows the instructions of a pure devotee, he's considered pure. He's also considered a pure devotee. So, we need the association of devotees, and when we get together with devotees, we should make the effort to do what we as devotees are supposed to do, to chant and hear about Krishna. Because we're, you know, in the neophyte stage, we're prakrita, sort of materialistic, prakrita bhaktas. We have the tendency to talk about other topics. But because we're trying to become devotees, because we have the chance to become devotees by following the instructions of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, the instructions of Sadhu, Shastra, and Guru, we should make that effort. The Shastras are meant for people who are not completely realized. They're giving instructions how to become self-realized and God-conscious. So we should follow and make that effort, dridavrita, with determination. And namasyanta, offering obeisances. Offering obeisances suggests both deity worship. We offer obeisances to the deity, and the association of devotees. We offer obeisances to devotees. It's all very personal. It's and as Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, that not only is the process easy, but it can be done in a happy mood. Because we're not giving up anything. We're not giving up family. We're not giving up friends. We're not giving up eating. We're not giving up singing. We're not giving up dancing. We're not giving up talking. We're not giving up cooking. We're not giving up anything. We're just changing the subject. We're changing the focus from the body, me and mine, to Krishna. And by adding Krishna, by putting Krishna in the center, everything becomes much better. It's not just that we're not giving up anything, but we're getting something much better. In fact, all the other things minus Krishna are zero. Ultimately, they come to naught. But if we put Krishna with them, like that, 1 0 becomes 10. 2 zeros with Krishna becomes 100. 3 zeros becomes 1,000. Otherwise, you add zeros, it just amounts to zero. And that's what everything we have will amount to. Along the way, things come and go, and at the time of death, everything goes. So we just want to add that one, keep that one. And with that one, everything becomes valuable. And without it, it's zero. Now, okay, Satyatam Kirtayam Tamam, one should perpetually worship Krishna. One should always chant his name and glories. So what about our maintenance? We're living in the world. We have to have food, shelter, and clothing. We have to pay the bills. We need money. So Acharyas explain, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, Srila Prabhupada explains that the activities required to keep the body and soul together so that we can serve Krishna is not against this principle of pure devotional service. Of course, we want to minimize the time we spend on the body, but we will have to spend some time on the body. If we don't eat, if we don't bathe, if we don't dress ourselves, we won't be able to continue to live in the body. So we do take care of the body, but not for sense gratification, just to keep the body and soul together for serving Krishna. Then those activities are not outside of the range of pure devotional service. But we shouldn't collect more than necessary. And every one of us is destined to enjoy and suffer a certain amount, a certain lot in life. Narada Muni in the first canto and Prahlad Maharaj in the seventh canto, they explain that just as distress comes of its own accord, similarly happiness will also come of its own accord. Nobody endeavors to get distress. Everyone endeavors to avoid it. But still, distress comes. Nobody goes to the temple or the church or mosque to pray to God, please give me distress. But suffering comes automatically. According to our destiny, according to our past karma. So in the same way that suffering comes automatically, happiness will also come automatically. As long as we're in the material world, the world of duality, there will always be happiness and distress, pain and pleasure, gain and loss. And we should not artificially try to increase our happiness or reduce our distress. But the Bhagavad Gita says, tums titikshasva bharata, one should tolerate. They come and go, like the changes of season. They come and go. You can't stop them. Sometimes it's very cold in the winter, but you have to tolerate. And eventually the seasons will change and it'll become warm. And sometimes it becomes too hot in the summer. You wish the heat would go away. And eventually the season will change, it will become cooler. So our interaction, the interaction between the senses and the objects of the senses, are like that. Sometimes they produce a pleasing sensation, and sometimes they produce a painful sensation. And of course, we don't, deliberately challenge the laws of nature. We don't do something that we know will harm us. We take normal precautions. But we know that it's bound to happen in this contact between the senses and the objects of the senses. It's bound to happen. Sometimes there's going to be pleasure and sometimes there's going to be pain. And if we become preoccupied with increasing the pleasure and reducing the pain, then we get diverted from Krishna consciousness. We become like karmis. That's what karmis do. They work so they can enjoy. They're always trying to increase their pleasure and decrease their pain. And in that process, they miss the whole purpose of human life. So we should be detached from the body. We should be detached from the interaction of the senses with the objects of the senses. And we should engage our mind and senses in Krishna consciousness. Manmana bhava madbhakto. Engage the mind in thinking of Krishna. Madhyaji, worship Krishna. Mam namaskaru, offer obeisances to Krishna. Very similar to today's verse. And if we don't need to engage our senses, we shouldn't. Why should we? The Bhagavad Gita says the yogi is like the tortoise. The tortoise, if there's need, the tortoise will extend his senses out of the shell. There's no need, he withdraws his senses into the shell. So in the same way, if there's need, we can engage our senses. If there's need for devotional service, otherwise we don't unnecessarily engage our senses. Then life is very congenial. Very congenial. We may have family and friends who are not devotees, and as a matter of social intercourse, we may have to interact with them. But only as far as required. Not in excess. They will often give us free advice about how we should live our lives. We should not be too fanatical about our beliefs. We should not be too extreme. We should be balanced. Sometimes they even go so far as to say you shouldn't waste your time with Krishna consciousness. You should just pursue material goals. And Srimad Bhagavatam advises that when our family members give us such free advice, that outwardly we can agree, say yes, what you said is very good advice, but inwardly we should remain fixed in our determination to keep our life simple so that we can progress in Krishna consciousness. In the Nectar of Instruction, Srila Rupa Goswami mentions six items that destroy bhakti, and one of them is prajalpa. Prajalpa means unnecessary talking. It's like the opposite of satyatam kirtayam tamam. It's the opposite of Krishna katha, gramya katha. That prajalpa can take place when any two people meet. Immediately start talking nonsense. But prajalpa extends beyond the talk of two people in the same room, or a few people in the same room. Prajalpa, as Srila Prabhupada explains, extends to reading newspapers, magazines, watching movies. These are all different manifestations of prajalpa. Unnecessary talking. So again, we see how important the association of devotees is. When we live in a temple community, it's easier, because we're surrounded by devotees. There are always programs in the temple. The deities are there. There's always service. But when we live away from a temple, it becomes more difficult. Devotees are not always so easily available. Their association is not so easily available. And again, man is a social animal. He needs engagement. And if he doesn't have the association of devotees, an engagement in Krishna consciousness, then newspaper, novels, books, DVDs, the internet. There's so many ways that we can distract ourselves. In one sense, distract ourselves from our miserable condition and certainly divert ourselves from the real solution to become free from our miserable condition. So it's, again, we come back to the importance of the association of devotees. Otherwise, well, of course, we have our own books, Krishna's books, Prabhupada's books. We have Krishna DVDs. We have Krishna websites. Everything is there. So in that sense, we can be fully engaged in Krishna consciousness, even at home, even without the association of devotees outside of our family. But still, it would be very rare for someone to be satisfied just by reading books. They want that sort of human touch, personal interaction. And if it's not with devotees, it's not going to be Krishna conscious. Of course, we can preach to people who are not really devotees to try to make them Krishna conscious. But that's to fill your time with that requires a lot of organization and effort. But otherwise, just getting together, talking, to talk about Krishna, you have to get together with devotees. So what does everyone think? Would you say that you've gotten anything from the discussion that you can take back with you that will actually change your life or change something in your life? And raise your hand. I would like to hear from you devotees.
Maharaj, I know for myself, working full time and trying to get my rounds done in between my hours and morning and I have a tendency to watch news because I like to know what's going on. I don't read newspapers and things like that, but I like to look. So just thinking when I'm doing the class, is that like out of the boundary of Krishna consciousness?
Well, Srila Prabhupada says there's no harm in reading ordinary news, but it's a matter of proportion. You know, how much time do you spend on the news and how much time do you spend on the news of the spiritual world? I mean, I have heard from devotees, you know, honest devotees, that one in particular, he felt that his main weakness was watching the news. You know, he just turned on the television and watched the news. It just waste time watching the news. It was very easy. Turn it on. There it is. And other than a little bit, I don't really need that much to be informed. Once Srila Prabhupada saw a disciple with Time magazine in his hand. And he said that the people depicted in Time magazine, described in Time magazine, are so demonic that just by looking at their pictures, you lose your pious credits. Yeah, I understand the difficulty. It's very easy to get swept along with the current. It would apply to you at the office, you know, the men at work. It could apply to the ladies in the mall. I recall this one story that, forget her name, very nice lady. She knew Srila Prabhupada when he first came to America, to Los Angeles, I guess in the early 1970s. She was Gujarati and she had married someone, she was a young girl. But she met Prabhupada and, you know, she really liked him and he liked her. And the disciples didn't really know how to cook very well then. So he would have her come and cook for him upstairs in his quarters in Los Angeles. And they would talk a lot. They had a very friendly relationship. And, of course, commercialization wasn't as extreme then as it is now, but it was still pretty prominent. So she said to Srila Prabhupada that, because she had just come from India, that she wanted to go to a department store. They didn't have them in India. Actually, they've only come in the last 10 years or so in India. So she wanted to go to a department store just to see what it's like, because she'd never been in one. And Prabhupada said, don't go. She said, no, I just want to go once just to see what it's like. Prabhupada said, don't go. Because when you go, you'll start to desire things for which you have no desire now. And as long as you have material desires, you have to take birth again. Don't go. Now it's just, it's commonplace. Go to the mall and just being, senses are being attracted in every direction. And at work, it's sort of the same thing. The one thing that we can always do is chant. That can really save us. You know, we can always chant. Whenever we have time, we should chant. And even if we can't chant audibly, we can chant within our minds. It's always chant. I think that's the only way. When we first went to India, to Delhi, obviously we didn't know anyone because we were completely new. And Srila Prabhupada sent us the names of some people that he knew from before he went to America. So one was quite a wealthy man. I think it was D.P. Gupta. Prabhupada actually stayed at his house. He had like quite a big house and land, and I think he had like a little guest house or guest room, and Prabhupada stayed with him for quite a while before Prabhupada went to America. And Mr. Gupta was quite puffed up, quite puffed up. And like he thought he was on the same level as Prabhupada. And he would tell us, us means like me and Gurudas, because just me, Gurudas, Jamuna, Gopal, and Bruce, who is now Bhanu Swami. So he used to say, I think he used to even tell Prabhupada, you know, you are Bhakti and I am Vedanta. he fancied himself as an intellectual. So he would say, you know, you are Bhakti and I am Vedanta. And he would always you know, take the opportunity to preach his philosophy to Srila Prabhupada, to present his philosophy to Srila Prabhupada. And he told us that Prabhupada always had his hand in his bead bag. And he said even when he was speaking to Srila Prabhupada, he could see that Prabhupada, you know, was figuring his beads and chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He wasn't listening to his impersonal philosophy. It was probably just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. You can do that. I mean, the other side is to just remember why you're there. You know. One year, Ambarish Prabhu, Alfred Ford, came with Srila Prabhupada to Juhu. And, they pulled up, you know, came from the airport in an ambassador car. And there's this new person I'd never seen before wearing saffron robes and carrying Prabhupada's bags. And that's, who's that? Well, that's Ambarish Das. So that's Alfred Ford. So before Ambarish left, he sort of went over his life's plan with Srila Prabhupada, and I was in the room. And he asked Srila Prabhupada what he should do when he went back to Detroit. Of course, in those days, no one worked. I mean, when you joined, that was it. You know, either you were in or out. So almost no one in the movement had jobs then. You know, maybe a few count in your fingers. But Prabhupada said he should work. So yes, you know, does it have to be in the Ford Motor Company, in the family business? Prabhupada said no. No, as you like. But he said he wanted them to get the idea. He wanted people to get to the idea that one can be a devotee and at the same time, you know, lead a responsible life in the material world. So then Ambarish said, but then what about association? What will I do for association? And Srila Prabhupada said, while you're working, if you think, I'm doing this for Krishna, that will be your association. Now it seems like a very simple instruction. It is a simple instruction. But it really means that you're thinking of Krishna. Thinking, I'm doing this for Krishna, means you're thinking of Krishna. It means you're not going to be get carried away, you know, by the current of material pursuits. because you're there for another reason. You're not there for the same reason that the other people in the office are there. And chant, just always chant. Just always chant. You know, on beads, or if you can't, then just in your mind. That's your other association. Associating with the holy name. It requires some consciousness, you know, some presence of mind, some discipline. But you can do it. No question, you can do it.
When you're singing or you're chanting, some words come and like you're typing and doing your work and you're doing it, but you're not really hearing. Would that be bad?
Well, of course, for your 16 rounds, you should chant with full attention. I've discussed this with Satchinandan Swami and other devotees, and they all agree that if by circumstances you can't chant attentively, and it's a choice between chanting without complete focus and just being surrounded by maya, they say it's better to chant, even if you can't chant with attention. Okay.
We all came together.
Oh, all right. Well, we miss you all, but you're going for a good purpose. Hare Krishna.
Answer.
Oh, I'll repeat it. The answer was that, you know, if you're in a situation in a car, on a bus, in a train, in an airplane, you know, in a building where you can't chant attentively. But if you don't chant at all, you'll just be distracted by maya, you'll just be surrounded by maya. So it's better to chant. It's not like you're chanting inattentively out of negligence, but it's from the circumstances. And they say it's better to do that than not to chant at all. Was that phone call all right? I thought maybe it's some emergency or some crisis.
My father is in the hospital.
Yeah. Where is he?
He's in El Paso. He had a coronary bypass.
Oh. When?
It happened last Tuesday, but my brother's a doctor, so my Maharaj Krishna, and my brother's there, the doctor, and he got to be able to get the cardiologist in, but I'm sorry, Krishna, I had to lament. You know, I had to cry.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. I mean, that's natural. Once a newspaper publisher in Mauritius met Srila Prabhupada, and he basically wanted to criticize Arjuna, because Arjuna heard the whole Bhagavad Gita from Krishna. And then later, when his sons were killed, you know that story. So he was lamenting. I mean, he was ready to give up his life and go into fire. So this newspaper publisher, Mr. Ram Lala, he asked Srila Prabhupada that, you know, how could Arjuna have heard the Bhagavad Gita directly from the Lord himself and told the Lord that he understood the Bhagavad Gita and still act in such a contrary way? And Srila Prabhupada said that, you know, everyone knows, of course that was more extreme because they were killed, but it's the same principle. But, you know, Prabhupada said, everyone knows, theoretically, nahanyate hanyamane sarire, that when the body is killed, the soul is not killed. But still, when our relative dies, we lament. And Prabhupada said, that's natural, everyone does. But Krishna instructed Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita to convince Arjuna to fight. And it's not that after losing his sons that he left the battlefield and gave up his duty. He still did his duty. And so he didn't act contrary to the Bhagavad Gita. And that was his victory. So that's not... Like Prabhupada said, that's natural. Everyone does. But still, we don't give up our duty. We don't give up our duty. And for us, our main duty is this. Satyatam kirtayantamam. To be Krishna conscious.